Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Benzer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Gambling with an Edge has a new sponsor. Hallelujah. Namely, predictit.org, which is a trading site operated out of Victoria University in New Zealand. To tell us more about this, today we'll be talking to Flip Padeau, who is a senior marketing analyst for that site. Flip Padeau, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Thanks, Bob. Richard, how are you?
We are well. This is a site that you buy contracts, which are somewhat like bets, on political events that are going to happen in the future. We are taping this on Thursday, September 26th, and this will be airing a week later. So if we talk about prices for such things as the chances Elizabeth Warren will win the Democratic nomination, or Trump may be impeached by December 31st, or some such, those numbers will be different by the time you are hearing this. These are active markets, which is part of the charm of the site. So don't assume that when you hear it, if we mention a particular price, that price is active at that time. So Flip, this actually might be the first time we've ever interviewed someone named Flip, so this is a big deal for Gambling with an Edge. Please tell us in general about how the predictit.org works.
Sure. Well, your summary was right on. It's a site at predictit.org where users can sign up and fund an account to then trade legally within the United States real money futures contracts, effectively, which, as you said, it's similar to betting, but it's basically traders are making a forecast or a prediction about a political outcome. It can be an electoral outcome. It can be a policy-making outcome, like a law being passed. It can be someone's polling numbers in a month. It can be whether Trump tweets about a trade war this week. Almost anything you can imagine to do with primarily domestic, but also global geopolitical affairs. And what's great about it, and what offers a really interesting opportunity, not only for the traders, but for just the public consuming this data, is that if you go and you say, okay, I think that Elizabeth Warren is going to win the nomination, or I think Trump is going to be reelected, you might enter a position on that prospect. If the odds then go higher, in other words, the market kind of catches up to your forecast, you can choose to exit that position. Or if you think the price has gone too high, you can say, well, I'm not that certain. So you can buy and sell and trade in and out of these various positions over the life of the contract. And functionally, how it works is each share, we call it, pays out $1 to the correct side upon resolution. So if you take a simple one like which party will win the White House in 2020, and it's currently trading at about 55 cents on the dollar for the Democrat, 45 cents for the Republican, if you went and bought the Republican contract at 45 cents or 100 of them for $45, and that turned out to be true, then on Election Day 2020, that $45 would become 100. If the Democrat were elected, the 45 would become zero. But again, if polling changes while you're holding that $45 position and Trump's numbers start doing better, you might see that tick up to 50, 55, 60, and you say, okay, that's enough. I want to book that profit, sell it, take my $15, $20 profit, whatever it is, and invest in one of the other several hundred actively traded markets on the site.
Why is it only political? I mean, there's no sports or do you have things like the Oscars or those types of contracts?
We don't. The focus is explicitly political, and part of it comes down to it simply the nature of the focus of the project, and part of it comes down to the way in which Predictit is able to operate legally in the United States, which is by virtue of no action relief, or basically a letter from the federal regulators, the CFTC, saying that we will not treat these as regulated commodity futures products, which we otherwise would, so long as you restrain trading within certain restrictions to do with position limits, number of traders in a market, but also importantly, there are topical restrictions. So they need to have to do with elections or other political and policymaking outcomes, and with a limited further exception toward economic indices. But it would not cover things like sporting event outcomes or Academy Awards and things like that, which is why our focus is squarely on the political. But again, as I gave a couple examples earlier, that really can go way, way beyond, you know, who's going to win a particular electoral race to encompass a number of pretty interesting and rapidly unfolding events that, especially with sort of the increasingly circus-like atmosphere in D.C., occupy a good, you know, good portion of the attention span of the average trader, the average news consumer, the average, you know, citizen, I think more so even than it would have a couple of years ago.
Could you give us some examples of some of the crazier contracts that are currently in play?
Let's see. Well, it depends on how you define crazy, but we've got a number to do with Twitter activity, I think I alluded to earlier, but, you know, how frequently Trump will tweet. You know, there have been a few pieces in the financial press recently about how the market reacts simply to Trump's volume of tweeting, that the markets get more nervous when he tweets more, because he has turned Twitter into a bit of a policymaking, or at least policy announcing outlet in a way that no president has done before. So those can turn really wild, because suddenly something like the impeachment Ukraine scandal will break and Trump will start tweeting like mad, or he'll see something on Fox and Friends and it'll stir something within him to really start tweeting like crazy. And we'll tie not only to tweet volume and frequency, but whether he tweets certain topics. And so that tends to capture whether traders think his attention in the next week is going to be more on, you know, a Democratic rival, more on the witch hunt and fake news media, or more on some actual policymaking matter. So the Twitter markets are one that when we initiated them a couple of years ago, we really did not expect them to become as robust and meaningful, not just in a volume sense, but meaningful in terms of an actual insight into what the market, the predicted market of traders, forecasts in terms of the president's area of focus in a given week. But as you know, as we get closer to the 2020 elections too, and not just the presidential, we're adding more and more about the primaries, the presidential primaries, state by state, who's going to come in first and second, who's going to lead in the certain state poll, what the balance of power is going to be in Congress, who's going to win particular races and gubernatorial races, House and Senate, even state level races. You know, we have a number on whether certain people will be indicted on federal charges this year, on James Comey, Hillary Clinton, you know, the whole cast of characters. So it's really almost anything within your imagination to do with political uncertainty. And a lot of these do come from outside the imagination of the predicted team too. We get suggestions from traders every day, constantly. They're not shy on Twitter or by email through the site's commenting sections to offer up their own suggestions. And a lot of them are not suitable for launch, but a lot of the good ones that we do launch come directly from traders.
So let's go through fees a little bit. You mentioned a possible one on who's going to win the White House, where the price was at a given time, the Republicans 45 and the Democrats 55. So let's say two friends, but who are on opposite sides politically. One takes 100 contracts on the Democrats. One takes 100 contracts on the Republican. And so one's putting up $45, one's putting up $55. One of those is going to get $100 on shortly after the election. So the question is, what are the fees for each of those two people?
So the fees are calculated based on realized gains. So let's say the person who bought the Democratic side for $55 turned out to be correct, Democrat is elected. their profit would then be $45, and their fees upon realization, which is to say upon settlement, would be 10% of that profit, so $4.50. The losing side, who banked on the Republican, would pay no fees.
Okay.
And that is per contract, right? Not per net for the day. I mean, let's say that you had 12 different contracts of different types that all settle on mm-hmm. the same day, and you end up, you know, having winners and losers, but your net actually is zero, but you're still paying the fee on all the winning contracts.
That's correct. You're paying it on a per contract basis, in fact, a per share basis within that contract for each realized gain. So if you're buying and selling all day long and gradually making money, you're incurring the fees in real time. If you then plunk down a big position and it promptly sells off and you take a bath on it, that doesn't claw back the fees.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
What would be the maximum number of contracts either person could buy on this?
There's no set maximum other than the total number of contracts available for trade on the site. So that's not one of the no action relief restrictions. Those are on position limits. So within a given contract, you can't buy a position larger than $850. And on number of traders with active positions in a contract, can't be more than 5,000 at any given time. But a given trader can go and open positions on, and I'm not certain of the number, but there are, I think, a couple hundred active markets at this time, many of which have several nested linked contracts. And so that 850 limit would apply at the contract level, not at the market-wide level. For instance, who will win the 2020 Democratic nomination? There are 20-some contracts within that market, each of which with its own $850 position limit.
And what kind of volume do you have?
That really varies hugely depending on the market. So some of them, as I mentioned, the Twitter ones are generally quite popular. The high level presidential electoral markets are quite popular, and they do pretty consistently in the hundreds of thousands of shares traded per day. I think our top contract right now, the 2020 Democratic nominee lifetime, has had it's about 61 million in volume. Of course, that one's been up for a couple of years. Others we'll put out, and we'll think we've got a really brilliant new, maybe slightly esoteric policy question we're asking, but about some bill that's being hotly debated. And it'll just go up and do nothing. And by nothing, I mean it might still get a few thousand traded, enough to generate liquidity and throw off a meaningful price signal. But it's hard to predict sometimes, despite the fact that our site's in the prediction business. It's hard to predict what, at least with total accuracy, which kinds of markets traders are going to flock to. Sometimes it's the ones that we really don't anticipate doing much that turn out to be blockbusters, and others that seem fantastic that are a little more quiet.
Okay, so I wanted to follow up more on this $850 limit. Mm-hmm. Let's assume there was a market where you could bet the yes or the no at 50 cents. Does that mean you could bet 1,700 contracts on either side?
Yes.
Okay. And when, so the next day or the next week, it's going to be maybe 48.52 one way or the other. So mm-hmm. if that means you go over the $850 limit, do you cash the player out? Or the, do you call them
no.
players?
What
do
no,
you
doesn't.
Call them?
We call them traders, but no, the site would not traders. Force a liquidation to keep you under the 850. The 850 is simply imposed at the time of purchase. You can't add to a position if it makes your new net length in that position more than 850. But if you bought 85,000 shares at something selling at 1 cent, you could quickly have $10,000, $20,000 position in that contract, and it would not cash you out as soon as you hit $850. presumes you went over it. Otherwise, especially if you, there'd be no market for the 1 or 2, 3 cent things. As soon as they ticked up 1 cent, they'd be liquidated, and that you know, obviously would severely put a cap on
liquidity.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, there'd be no purpose to invest in any long shot because you'd have no opportunity for an outsized payoff.
Why the 850 limit?
That is imposed by the no action letter from the CFTC. It's to keep it from being, you know, effectively an unregulated or less regulated alternative to a designated contract market or another trading venue subject to the normal regulatory framework of the U.S. commodities law.
One of the problems with this for our listeners, for example, today, I just noticed a couple of what I thought were very good bets on that Michelle Obama and Oprah will not run for president. And I think they were today they're selling at like 92 cents. And often the good bets for professional gamblers are these big bridge jumper type bets, because the public mostly likes to bet on the long shots. But if I can only bet $850, you know, but I'm laying 92-8 or something, I really can't get much money down at all.
That's right. And especially for that effect, that long shot bias effect is somewhat exacerbated when you have longer term markets too, because a lot of traders feel that, you know, if they can only put down 850 and they're only going to make a 5% return and they've got to wait a year and a half to realize that. Whereas on a polling market or a Twitter market or a testify market or something, they may feel they've got an opportunity for 10, 20, 30% return in a day or in a week. Even if it were a locked certainty that Michelle Obama, as you said, won't file to run for president in 2020, they're not interested in tying up that much of their bankroll for that relatively small return and have to wait a year or more to receive it.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So let's say that I bet on the right side of this and I win. And I have won $400 on this contract. Is that my money to – can I withdraw it immediately? Do I have to leave it there?
You can.
Do I have to turn it? What are the rules?
No, that's yours to keep.
And is there a fee if I withdraw it?
There is. I believe it's 5% withdrawal fee when you take the money back out, when you convert it to actual cash.
And is the only way to withdraw to credit card currently?
I don't believe so. I think you can do it to a bank account, but honestly, that's not my end of things, and I wouldn't want to swear to that because I'm not involved in that end of the operation.
Okay.
Okay.
So let's assume some of our listeners have political opinions. Of course, if they don't, they probably would have turned this episode off a long time ago. So assume that they have political opinions and they want to participate. And they wouldn't mind throwing a few dollars towards Gambling with an Edge. If they sign up through our portal, what kind of advantage is it to them? What kind of to do that?
Right. So they go, and we've set up a special landing page at predictit.org/promo/edge. And if they sign up that way, they will get a deposit match for their first deposit up to $20. So if they put in 20, they'll immediately have $40 in credit in their account.
And when they spend that, if they spend it, then Richard and I get some piece of that. Very good.
We will have a link, in the show notes. That'll take you to that page. But I should have talked to John before about this, and this may not be your area at all, but do you know, is there a requirement that they buy some number of contracts before cashing out with that free money?
I believe so, but yeah, you're right. It's not my area, but yeah, I believe you can't simply put in the 20, it becomes 40, and then cash it out.
I
would think would need to be invested, but yeah, John or someone else at Predictive would be able to answer that more authoritatively.
Right, and for our listeners, I will get that clarified and put it in the show notes, because I know there are a bunch of you listening that are like, oh, I'll just deposit 20 and then cash out 40. And yeah, that would not be good for us or for them. And so please don't do that.
And we're going to be talking about this on a regular basis. As if they're sponsors, we talk about them during the commercial section. So we'll be passing out this information over the air in addition to in the liner notes. And since we just mentioned commercials, this seems like a great time for a commercial break. So we're going to get back to Flip in just a moment. And in the meantime, hear from our sponsors. We're not going to talk about Predicted.org as a sponsor today, maybe for obvious reasons, but we will be talking about them later on future shows. The South Point has more than 10,000 games, returning more than 99%. This is more than anyone else has. In October, the promotion is free play with a kicker. Usually free play is eligible to be picked up Tuesday through Thursday weekly. In October, your normal free play amount may be picked up Monday through Wednesday, and if you pick that up, you get the same amount either Friday or Saturday of the same week. Do this 4 weeks in a row, meaning 8 free play pickups, and you get a double size free play pickup on Monday, October 28th. So whatever your normal pickup amounts, instead of 4 times whatever your amount is, this time it's 10 times. So it's a significant increase. The free play amounts are relatively small. If you go in and just pick up your free play, then your play for the month will be pretty small and your future mailers will be affected. That's just kind of the way it works. The next free video poker class on October 8th, 12 o'clock noon, is 9-6 Bonus Poker Deluxe. Bonus Poker Deluxe is very much like Jack's or Better, except 4 of a kinds pay 80 for one rather than 25 for one, balanced by 2 pair getting 1 for one rather than 2 for one. These two factors balance each other out fairly closely. 9-6 Jacks would be 99.54. 9-6 Bonus Poker Deluxe would be 99.64. So it's about the same percentage. There is a higher variance to the Bonus Poker Deluxe simply because 4 of a kind is a relatively rare event. It happens about every 420 hands on average, with some fluctuation. If this is a day that you're getting a lot of 4 of a kind, then Bonus Poker Deluxe is a much better game to be playing than Jack's or Better. If this is a game where 4 of a kinds take a vacation from your machines, you would rather be playing Jack's or Better than Bonus Poker Deluxe. Unfortunately, you do not have this information until after your session is over. The strategy is similar between the two games, but there are differences primarily because of the amount you get for 2 pair affects strongly how many straights you go for. It may not seem obvious, but after the class, you'll understand that. At videopoker.com, it's the best place to play lots of games. If you sign up for the Gold membership, $8.95 a month, or $79.95 a year, this allows you to get correction on most of the games. In the very near future, there will also be a Pro membership, which gives you extra advantages, especially correction on games like Ultimate X and Quick Quads. This is still under construction as we tape this, but we'll be talking about it significantly in the near future. The game of the week is Face Card Frenzy. You can play this game anywhere from 6 coins per line to 10 coins per line, with the odds improving for the player as you increase your bet. In this game, full houses, quads, including jacks, queens, kings, and aces, return a lot more than the full houses and quads without those. To make the math work, all pay schedule categories are bumped up, meaning you need an entirely new strategy to play this game. In addition, if you play it for 6 coins, it's going to be a different strategy than playing it for 7 coins, different than 8, different than 9, different than 10. It's not hard to work these out, but it takes a bit of effort and something you need to prepare before you go to the casino if you wish to play it at maximum benefit. All right, we're returning to Flip Padot, who is a senior marketing analyst at Predicted.org. On the site, you have an Insight newsletter. Tell us about that.
Well, this is basically where traders can come to get some additional thoughts. There's a weekly called the Predictable Newsletter that's put out by the team, sort of looking at what some in focus or heavily traded markets have been for the prior week and what's sort of in focus in the upcoming week. It takes a look at recent price movement in some of our most heavily traded markets, but also introduces traders to some markets they might not be aware of. We sometimes focus on an international key election or other, just slightly off the beaten path market that folks who may be squarely focused on the presidential or on some other aspect of domestic politics might not be aware of, and yet through that sort of new market discovery often find some additionally interesting opportunities. So it's a good way to get a little bit of commentary and updates and to discover some new things on the site you might not be aware of.
So there's a comment section on this as well?
There is, yeah. And not sure how actively used that is for the commenting. You'll see if you go into especially some of the more highly traded markets that the comment section is extremely lively on Predicted, but not a lot of that activity seems to happen on the newsletters. People more enjoy, I think, the back and forth and, playfully adversarial nature of the discussion between the two sides on any given proposition on the actual the trading pages.
Well, a lot of sites that have political commentary, I would not use the word playful to describe.
it's a charitable characterization.
If you get a strong Trump supporter and a strong Trump detester, we'll call it, trying to have a civil conversation about anything to do with Trump, it is basically impossible. They are yelling and screaming in short order. Does that kind of thing happen on your site as well?
You know what? It does. You get, as I said, you get lively discussion, but it is of a different character than I think, folks who are used to seeing political back and forth on, comments on a news site, political news site, or on Reddit or Facebook or other social media. It's less of that. It's less of the sort of, partisan sniping. Trump is terrible because of X. No, he's great because of Y. It's more to do with people convincing each other that a contract is under or overpriced. So that will still sometimes devolve into the more partisan, this is overpriced because crazy liberals think X or crazy conservatives think Y and they're too blind to realize it. But it more so comes down to, from a trader's perspective, if you're trying to actually glean something useful from the comments, it becomes a game of, okay, who's here offering genuinely good commentary, breaking something down and offering me insight or analysis I don't already have that I can use, and who is simply, you know, they call them the pumpers, who is trying to artificially inflate or deflate the price because they want to buy in or sell at a price that the market won't allow them to yet. So, you know, there's obviously some incentive for people to give exactly the opposite thesis or analysis from what they genuinely believe so they can get in or out at a more favorable price. Again, this becomes less of an issue in the really high volume markets because whoever may read a misleading comment or insight is less likely to steer the price in a meaningful way when you've got a really deep order book. But you still see a good amount of that, or at least you see people attacking other comments as simply, you know, false pumps in one direction or another.
So I'm just looking at some of the most active markets right now. And what I'm curious about is there's something that says, where's the smart money? Well, first of all, do you have what you would call professional traders, people that are clearly playing with an edge and making more than just a few dollars at this?
Yeah, there are people who have made trading on predictor their full-time jobs, and there are folks who do quite well at it. In terms of whether they're playing with an edge, I mean, I think a lot of traders develop an edge through just sort of the tapestry effect of spending a lot of time analyzing these markets, analyzing the underlying fundamentals of, again, whether it's Twitter activity or, you know, a whip count in Congress. In terms of whether folks play with what would be deemed more of an unfair edge, you know, is a congressional staffer to Mitch McConnell, who knows someone's going to be put on the floor next week trading on that knowledge, that we aren't aware of. However, it's worth noting that the site does not, and this is in the disclaimers in terms of conditions, does not take efforts to steer away people who may have specialized knowledge. And to a certain degree, you want people with varying degrees of knowledge in the markets. That's how markets generate a more useful price. That you don't want there to be a systematically unfair edge. And in this case, we do have the protections and benefits of the Stock Act, the Stop Trading on Congressional Knowledge Act, which does apply even to prediction markets. It prevents, you know, elected officials and their staffers from personally profiting off of knowledge they have about future events by virtue of their job functions and responsibilities. So the same way that someone can't go and trade on, you know, an FDA scientist can't go and short the stock of a company whose new cancer drug he knows is about to be turned down, that same staffer who knows what bill is going to be put on the floor next week can't go and trade on that knowledge on predicted. So it's federal law that prevents them from doing it. The site does not independently take effort to enforce the Stock Act, but it does at least give us some assurance that that either is not happening or it's only happening by congressional staffers who are happy to brazenly break federal law.
I wasn't concerned about insider trading. I just was wondering, are there professionals who are – well, no, because I think the price – insider trading, I think, will allow the price to find the right mark if that money comes in, right?
It will, presumably.
We seem to have lost Flip. All right. So what we're going to do now is usually at the end of our show, Richard and I talk about something interesting that we've seen.
Hi, sorry, guys. You guys hear me?
Yeah, now we can.
Welcome back, Flip.
Great. The conference line booted me off there for a sec.
Ah, okay. Right. So you were saying that the price would, with insider trading, the correct price would be discovered, right?
It would, although it might be diluted to some extent, again, because one individual who knows the outcome ahead of time, it would still be restricted to that $850 position limit. So if it's a high-volume contract, that would be a somewhat diluted signal. But still, it would help the market find the correct price, but it's still, you know, not necessarily something you want, only because if it becomes apparent that you have a number of players in there with an unfair advantage or an advantage that the, you know, an ordinary trader can never hope to match, then that's a disincentive toward the general public from participating. So, you know, as I alluded to earlier, we're not aware of stuff like that going on, but certainly you do have varying levels of confidence and accuracy among different traders, like you do in any market, and because of that, we do see some folks doing very well.
Do you happen to know if you have any computer automated trading?
It's not allowed by Predictit. We do sometimes see it happening, and it's not an activity that I'm directly involved with, but I'll, in speaking to the folks who are, you know, I hear that once in a while they'll see some bot or scripted activity, and I think they're generally able to shut it down pretty quickly. It leaves enough traces of itself versus, you know, how long it takes to manually enter a new trade. To enter or exit a position, but in terms of a site policy, it's something that is not permitted on Predictit.
So, and then I had one more question, and that was, so there's this box that says, where's the smart money going? And it says 26% of Predictit's top traders have sold this contract in the last 24 hours. And that contract is basically, will Trump be impeached by the end of 2019? And the yes is 40 cents and the no is 61. So my question is, have they sold the yes or sold the no?
I have to confess, I'm not familiar with the box that you're talking about. So I can't weigh in on that. That specific example.
So,
this is, in other words, it's saying that 26, sorry, can you repeat the number that you're seeing in this alert?
Yeah, so if you click on trends, the first box you see is, what are the top traders doing? And it says that 26% of the top traders have sold this contract in the last, just recently. But it doesn't say whether they're selling the yes or selling the no. I guess you can only buy, right? So.
Correct. Yeah. So even on a contract that has multiple outcomes, like who will the nominee be, it's just a series of linked yes or no's. So if they're saying 26% have bought, they probably mean predicted yes on whatever the outcome is, you know, being referenced.
Well, it says they've sold the contract. Not bought the
okay.
contract. That's
okay. So
that's the
right.
confusing part.
Okay, gotcha. So sold, and I'm not certain whether they mean both sold a long position, or, you know, closed out a yes, or bought a new no position. That would be my guess, is that they mean one way or another, taking an incremental position on it not happening, either by selling a yes or buying a no.
Yeah. Okay.
Several of these contracts are correlated with others.
Yes.
In that some are totally independent or appear to be, but some are, for example, Elizabeth Warren being the Democratic nominee and a woman being the Democratic nominee. Of which
right.
it's slightly more to bet a woman, so you get, there's some small chance that Kamala Harris, Tulsi Gabbard,
Oprah
Clinton, whoever. But it's mostly Elizabeth Warren is giving the value of that. So if you have a really strong opinion, you can get around this $850 by doing several correlated markets. Is that a reasonable assumption?
That's true. So if you found a market that was a rough proxy for one that you've maxed out on, as you said, in this case, what will the gender of the Democratic nominee be? You would have a separate $850 limit to invest in that contract. And now if one of the other women, Kamala Harris or whomever else, sort of has an upswing, an uptick, it would become a less, you know, less of a proxy. But at the moment where she is, as you said, occupying most of the odds of the other contract of a female being nominated, it becomes somewhat of a better proxy. We saw something similar in 2016 where there were several markets, who will be elected president, which party will win the White House, who will be elected vice president, what will the gender of the next president be. Come election day, those four were all identical markets, effectively. But when they'd been launched many months or a year or more earlier, they were all very different prospects. But by the time it came down to the final leg of the race, they had become effectively perfect proxies for each other. So there are sometimes opportunities to do that, to put more money on a prospect that is, if not identical, quite similar.
Historically, prediction markets seem to have been a better predictor than merely polls.
Right.
Do you find that true, or am I?
Yeah. I think they tend to be better. It doesn't mean that they're perfect. I think they tend to be better, and they tend to digest the information more quickly. So we've had Warren out in front of Biden for over a month, whereas the only polls where she's been leading have just come in within the last couple of days. And we've now got her way, way in front, 51 to 22, or based on the current
numbers.
Something
like that, yeah.
But it does seem to that all the information, whether it's fundraising numbers, crowd sizes, anecdotal, more qualitative stuff, the prediction market is able to synthesize and distill all that in real time in a way that polls really can't. So whether they're long-term more accurate, they are at very least much more responsive in real time. And we actually found in 2018 that there was a professor who did an analysis of predicted accuracy versus 538, Nate Silver's political forecasting site, and found that which house, but for one of the houses, 538 was slightly more predictive. I think it was for the House of Representatives, and for the Senate races, predicted was slightly more accurate in their predictions. And so that's, of course, a brand and a data analysis, superpower that sort of prides itself on being poll-driven. Polls are a key input, but then they apply a lot more sort of clever, sophisticated data science to adjust from those polls and come up with the, ostensibly industry-leading forecast. And this paper suggested that predicted seems to do at least as well, if not a bit better, in a lot of cases than 538. And that only seems to improve as the sophistication of the traders, the size of the trader population, the diversity of that trader population grows as well. And that's despite the fact that we do still have a couple of these artificial structural limitations, like the position size limits, which does tend to dilute the smart money signal a little bit. But even with those limitations in place, it does seem to be as good or better a source of forecasting, political forecasting, than anything else out there.
Now, there's political science departments in every university. At least some of them are studying the 2020 election. Presumably, your company is creating data that would be useful to them.
Right.
Do you make this available to them, or are they
on
their
own? We do. In fact, we have research partnerships with dozens of professors and universities throughout the country that use the data, the price and volume data, in various ways. And it'll be interesting to see after the 2020 election what kind of body of research emerges from that, because especially with the increasingly large and complex portfolio of markets, many of which, as you mentioned, are correlated oftentimes in interesting ways, This will be really interesting to see what kind of insights, not only academics, but I would imagine well-funded political campaigns are able to glean from this. I mean, you can see in real time as someone's poll numbers improve and then they go up in the nominee market, then you'll see the odds of which party wins the White House will sometimes gyrate too. And it tells you a little something about which candidates the market really sees as being more electable versus Trump in a head-to-head. So you can sort of make these synthetic hypothetical markets of if Warren is the nominee, how likely is it that she'll beat Trump, and compare that to if Biden is the nominee, how likely is it that he'll defeat Trump. And it so it offers a whole range of these kind of insights that whether they turn out to be correct or not, at least show in a pretty unique way what traders are thinking, not just about this specific question being asked, but by making these comparisons to other markets, related markets in real time, what that means for these, you know, various hypotheticals going forward.
In the 2016 election, there was most U.S. or I think all U.S. intelligence agencies came to the opinion that the Russians actively affected the U.S. election. I think this position has been denied by the White House, but the intelligence offices say it's true. You don't have any contracts on outside interference. Is that because it's hard to come up with a question that is yes or no, or but that seems to be a burning question and one that would be of interest?
Yeah, it would be of interest, and you got the answer exactly right. It would be hard to structure that and draft rules that would be ambiguous. Even looking back at 16, it would be hard now to write rules that everyone would agree on how to settle the market. As you said, the White House insists that is not the case, and I'm sure a lot of Trump supporters would as well. So you always want to have rules and a settlement source that are fully unambiguous, and we found that even when you're pretty certain you've got that, especially in the era of Trump, things find a way sometimes of, you know, having the coin land on the edge. So we try and avoid any possible ambiguity in that settlement source. It's not to say that foreign meddling in the 2020 election is not something that we may put up markets on. Certainly open to suggestions. As you said, it's an area of intense focus and interest and concern to most, if not all, Americans. So if we can find ways to capture that uncertainty, we certainly will.
All right. We're getting near the end of our time with Flip Pinot. We have Rich, did you have any more questions that you wanted to throw his way?
Nope. As I say, I will talk with John and we'll get it worked out, the actual terms on the sign-up bonus for people who sign up through our link. And as I say, we'll have those in the show notes and we'll also talk about them next week.
And this John that Richard keeps referring to is a man named John Phillips, who it seemed like you could call somebody like that Flip too. But he's the CEO of Predicted.org, and so his decision presumably is final. Thank you very
much. Yes, he will have the right answer.
Presumably, we very possibly will be talking to you in the future. Richard and I are looking forward to this relationship with you. We thank you very much for your time today.
Yep, great chatting with you. Thanks so much for having me on.
So, Richard, we have started recently a section of where you or I talk about interesting things that we've found in the last week or three. Do you have something to share with our listeners?
Right. I call it recommended, things we found that we recommend to the listeners. Mine
this
week. I
call it that too.
Yeah, right. Mine this week is a place called Shang Artisan Noodle. And this is a noodle house in Chinatown. And I went there the other day, and it's one of those very small hole-in-the-wall places. They've got a bar that sits over an open kitchen where you can watch a guy pulling dough and making noodles all day long. And so the noodles are made fresh, and it only has about six, eight, ten tables, plus the bar overlooking the kitchen. But they had just excellent Chinese noodles. So it's called Shang Artisan Noodle. It's at 4983 West Flamingo, right by a Capriati's at Flamingo and Decatur. You know that area. And, yeah, I thought it was quite good, and I will definitely be going back. So that is my recommended for the week.
All right. So Decatur is a little bit south of the Chinatown area. Excuse me, a little bit west, and Flamingo's a little bit south. Most of the Chinatown centers around near Arville and Spring Mountain, I think. But it's spread out quite a bit. Another thing I wanted to ask you about, I don't know if you're ready for this. If not, you can bleep this section. You went to a play recently that will be closed by the time this airs, but it sounded very interesting in concept. It had to do with an Okie dinner, Okie supper club. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so I went to a show called the Okie Family Supper Club, and this is what they call both immersive and interactive theater, which is a trend I'm very interested in currently. And these are shows. Immersive is a show where you are in the show. Sometimes it involves going from room to room, following cast members around. And interactive means you as the audience member, actually people in the cast talk to you. So as I say, I'm very interested in these types of shows. A lot of them tend to be horror, which are not the ones I'm interested in so much. But anyway, so this one was called the Okie Family Supper Club. And basically, you are invited to a dinner, and you are part of this family that is having this dinner. And the day of the show, I was emailed and told who I was to the family, how I related to that family. And I was told to go down to the Greyhound bus station downtown in Las Vegas, where I would meet, you know, one of the members of the family who would pick me up to take me to the dinner. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. You know, there is a kind of bare bones structure to the story of the show, but the rest of it is all just kind of what happens with this family and the relationships between the people. So anyway, I had a great time. And these types of shows I will certainly be going to as often as possible. These particular people who put on this show are all performers in Cirque du Soleil shows. So they only have Sunday and Monday nights off. So the show was only on Sunday and Monday night. So, you know, hopefully they'll be doing more like it in the future, and I will be going.
Yeah, one of the actors in there was Darren Pictera, who is the manager of the Las Vegas Theater Hub, which is arguably the top improv group in Vegas. And so by the time I figured that out, the show was sold out. But this sounded like a lot of fun. If you had made the decision, Richard, that whatever character you had was an alcoholic, and so you played it that way, would the cast have gone along with you and dealt with you as an alcoholic uncle or whatever it was your position?
And, you know, one of the things that was interesting is everybody there thought that some people were actors that were just guests and vice versa. So part of my story was that the daughter of this family is my ex-wife, and people kept coming up to me going, are you going to be okay that she's here? And I kept saying, yeah. And then she came down and sat next to me at the dinner table, And I was like, really? You're going to, you know, come sit right next to me? And anyway, I thought for the entire evening that she was one of the actors, and it turned out she wasn't. She was just a guest as well. So, but yes, if I had decided to play it as an alcoholic, then they would have just gone with it, yeah.
Boy, that sounds like a lot of fun. Both Rich and I are in this improv troupe, and for me, that sounds like it would be a delight to participate in. So I hope I find out about the next time they do it early enough to decide. There's not many places. It was like 8 or 10 or 12 people are allowed to come. And
I think only 8 guests. Yeah. I mean, because it's a dinner. We all sat around one big table, you know.
So there's 8 guests and 5 or 6 cast members.
Right. Right.
Uh-huh. Very good. That really sounds interesting. And hopefully I get to do it next time. I'm looking forward to it. In the meantime, glad we have a new sponsor. See how it works. The predictits.org sounds interesting to play with if you have any interest at all in politics. In the meantime, thank you, Richard. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good day.